This week I was reminded of a story. Worked with a lady who, she was on switchboard, and she preferred to be called Mevrouw Delbord. And when you would phone internally, she would answer Skakelbord. It was like a different world altogether. But she told the story of her son, who lived most of his life in a dream world. He's just kind of like, just gazing into nowhere. And he went to the army, and that's where things had to change. And the very first moment that he realized that was when he was on the parade, and the regimental sergeant major was just throwing out all of these commands, and he wasn't quite with it. And the RSM came all the way up to him and looked him straight in the eye and shouted as loud as what he shouted when he was 100 meters away, "Delbord! As jou ma vir jou vra, wat wil jy word? Moet jy sê ma? Ek wil wakker word." God bless mevrou Delbord.
Ek wil wakker word.
And he realized in the moment, it was like a wake-up moment. I need to change my ways. Otherwise, this is going to go very bad. And I think life is a few wake-up moments. I think life throws us a couple of things where we realize, actually, I need to pay attention here. It's like I can't just turn a blind eye anymore. And you know, for me, one of the most profound moments is at funerals. So it's going to go a little bit morbid first, but stay with me. What I've learned from doing funerals is there's two main aspects to it. The one is evaluation, and the other confrontation. You don't have to tell anyone. Evaluation just comes out. We just want to talk about the person. And it's all good. No one says anything negative. I think it's such a great picture of how we should speak about people when they're still alive. But when they've passed on, we want to talk about who they are. The person that they were. The character. We'll talk about like life stories and a few fond memories and maybe even some of their accomplishments. But actually, that's secondary. What we want to talk about is their character. Have you noticed that? We don't want to talk about their accomplishments. We want to talk about what they meant to us. And we speak about character. We speak about their values. We speak about what they meant to people. If you want a large funeral, you either need to be very famous or love people your whole life. So if you're not famous, that's the only other way. It's confrontational. Because it's so painful, the loss. And there's no way you can get away from it. It confronts you. But there's another aspect to it that's very confrontational. And you'll probably find that it's more true for the people sitting a little bit further back in the auditorium where that funeral's playing out. The people that are not as close to the individual, they're just there in support, but they're confronted with another thing, their mortality. It's like they're not really overwhelmed with the emotion, but they're thinking this through. It's like this person's died. That means there's an end to their life. There's an end to my life. What does that mean? Common practice is you'll always have dates put out on the front of the pamphlet that gets handed out, or that you'll see it on a tomb. You've seen those? You put those up, just the birth date on the left, date of death on the right. Those are three sets of dates. One is an incredible brain, probably the cleverest person that's ever lived. The second one is a great musician. And the third one is one of the greatest leaders. But as much as they had all of what they accomplished, as much as they were these incredible individuals, what's true for them is true for everyone. There's a birth date. And we don't have much control over that. We don't have any control over that. And then there's a date of death. We also don't have a lot of control over that. by virtue of how some people eat in Pretoria, I think we do bring it forward, potentially. There's some guys that looks like they're sponsored by No Fear. But under the sovereign hand of God, we don't have a control over that date either. So left date, we don't have control. Right date, we don't have control. But what we do have control over is the little dash in between. And I want to encourage you this morning to live your little dash. Because the time is short. That's why it's just a little dash. And David got this. David wrote a psalm. Psalm 39. From verse 4. And he wrote this psalm, which starts like this. It's going to be up on the screen so you can read with me. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. That's a big prayer. He's not necessarily saying, Lord, will you tell me what the date is? He's just saying, Lord, make me aware of the fact that there is a date.
Very good. Very good.
He's like, just help me, Lord. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. Handbreadth was, in ancient Israel, it was a measure of a unit of measure. Basically four fingers. Kind of like, how many handbreadths? But it was one of the smallest. So David takes that one. He says, my life, the number of my days, is a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath. Question is, are you a good breath or a bad breath? No, sorry. Focus, back. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. So you can be in your prime. 25, rocking it. When it seems secure, you're still just a breath. This is David. I mean, a skilled poet, musical genius, a king, a warrior. And one of the translators says, every man at his best state is but a vapor. And James writes in chapter 4, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I want to show us a clip. For me, it just depicts something of the shortness of life. So if you guys can roll that, please, Rob. You know what stands out for me? In the clip, after 50, everyone looks old. Did you notice that? I'm saying in the clip, not yeah. Relax. Oil of Delay is like the highest seller here in Pretoria. Don't worry. In the clip, it's like it just gets to a point. And then at 90, it's like, man, these guys are living on borrowed time here. And then from like 95 on, it like hit the head zombie status. You know? Let's make a movie. Got to keep it light because, man, morbid. But from heaven's perspective, and I think in light of eternity, 0 to 100 in 150 seconds. Just a breath. From our perspective, not so much. It's like, that's long. No, that's not long. From heaven's perspective, it's just a little dash. 150 seconds. There we go. Done. I just want to encourage you this morning. But this dash is fleeting. And our span of our years is as nothing before God. And that's why David is saying, Lord, help me to get this. Help me to know the brevity of my little dash, the shortness of my life. And then allow me to live my life with that revelation, because it changes everything. Then he says in verse 6 of Psalm 39, Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. In vain they rush about. Why the busy? Why we are so busy? We're just rushing about. We're just... And then we're heaping up wealth. Why? Why do we heap up wealth? I read this week, it was such an incredible way of putting it. Heaping up wealth on this earth is like heaps of manure in the furrows of the field. Serves no good unless it's spread. Why? Why do we do that? It's kind of like David says in verse 4 and 5, length of life, and then in verse 6, depth of life. But on both those, it's like, hey guys, this is short, but why? Why are we doing that? Why do I do that? Why am I inclined in this way? And then in verse 7, this is where we're going up now. David says this, but now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. So if my dash is short, and there's a wrong way for me to live my dash, what's the right way? I'm looking, God. So that cone, I'm trying to find, there it is, my Father. My hope is in you. Because without that, we've just got bad news. Verse 4, 5, 6, it's just like, oh, hold on a second. That's not great. Oh, there's the hope. There we have hope. What does hope in God look like? It comes when we respond to Him and His love for us and what He has done for us. Because He died for us. He died on our behalf. We respond to Him in faith. We put our faith in Him. We become children of God. And that's just where it starts. Because then our hope extends into how we live our lives. When we become born-again believers, we all of a sudden, we have an opportunity to let go of our will and to take on God's will. All of a sudden, we have the opportunity to let go of our ways and to take on His ways. Because you might be saying, okay, well, short dash, I get it. I want to live my little dash. Please don't go and start a ministry. Don't do that. It's not what. Don't go into action mode. Don't allow, oh, I've got to do things now. Because then you might just be getting busy. It's about what's the will of my Father? Jesus, I mean, He made it so plain. Not my will, but your will be done. If we can live our lives like that, then we're living our little dash. What's your will, God? And most of His will is disclosed in His word, but there's something unique for all of us as well. We seek God and we God, what's your will for my life? And as we're doing that, so we have this transforming work that's taking place in our lives as well, where we become like God. We become Christ-like in our character and in our way. We sang it this morning. Your love is relentless. When we love one another, there's so many characteristics of God, but love is the thing that just keeps it all together. Motivated by love. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love and what love isn't and what love is. And I mean, we can prophesy, we can speak in tongues, we can have words of knowledge, we can even move mountains with faith. We can give to the poor. It's got it all listed there. We can even die a martyr's death. But if it's not done without love, I gain nothing. So Lord, I want to surrender to your will, and I want to surrender to your ways. I want you to flow through me. As I live out this life that you have for me, and I find something of your will, and I live in that, I want to be a dispenser of who you are, wherever I go, spreading it, spreading it. The last verse of that 1 Corinthians text says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. It's the greatest because it is the greatest, but also because it's the only one that lasts forever. See, faith and hope, we only need that while we're here. We don't need that when we're in heaven. But love, we'll continue to love. Love is everlasting. I want to, just by virtue of illustration, I know it's not my illustration, but I can't think of a better one. So Stephen, if you could grab that. And Jay, why don't you grab the end of that? Maybe just take it to the door there. That's cool, 100%. You don't have to go out. Stay with us, Joe.
He wants to go.
So let's imagine this rope carries on forever. So past Stephen, past Jay, past the ablutions, past the blockhouse, Bronkhorstspruit, through Swaziland, through Mozambique, over the Indian Ocean, over Australia, out of our solar system, beyond our galaxy. Just if you can imagine. You got it. It just keeps going. Now imagine that this rope that just lasts forever represents your life, your lifespan. And then this little red part, you get that? Yeah? That little red part represents your life on earth. And then, so you get like a few years, yeah? Dash. And then all of eternity somewhere else. That's what the Bible says. You know what our dilemma is? It's like this crazy deception. We just worried about this red part. That's our focus. So how am I doing? I get born, let me get educated, I go work, I work, 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 save, so that I can have enough money just to enjoy this last bit. Really live it up. You're not going to be able to. Just saying. Stupid. It's not going to help you then. So we're deceived. The question is, what about the white part? What about this? And then we read in Scripture that what we do here determines how we live for millions and millions and millions and millions of years. It's not going to end. Newton had it right when he wrote Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, we'd have no less days than when we first began. Why are we so worried about comfort and temporal joys over here? Why is this so important to us? Why is this our focus? See, that's why David prays, Lord, help me to understand the fleeting reality of this life. Because all of what happens here has an impact on what happens there. There's an evaluation that happens here as well. There's not just an evaluation at your funeral, who you are. There's a heavenly evaluation. And that carries reward. That carries inheritance. How we live this life has such a significance on how the rest of this pans out. What time frame are you living in? I think that's a very good question to ask. Because we got past, and then we got present, and then future, and then eternity. Four time frames. My concern when I speak to people, and I don't want to exclude myself from this, I struggle with these things as well. But most people live in one of two time frames. They either live in the past. So what's gone before, that's what's happened to me. That's my brokenness. These are all the things, but I'm still hanging on here. And when anyone wants to point me in the right direction, I'm still holding on to my past, to the point where it becomes my identity. It's who I am. My hurts and my brokenness. So we've got to be saying, in light of all of this, surely we can look to the Father. My hope is in you, God. Would you give me the faith and the courage to let go? Would you give me the faith to know that you will heal my brokenness? Because I've got a life to live. I want to live my little dash. And when people say, no, I want to hold on to what happened to me. I want to hold on to all my hurts and my past. I want to say, hello. David's saying, guys, not a long time. You don't have the time to hold on to your past hurts and your grudges and your unforgiveness. It's going to have an impact. Find God. Put your hope in Him. Allow Him to heal your hurts and your brokenness so you can let go of these things and live this life. Live this little dash. The other camp is the guys that live for the future. And they fall into the someday trap. Someday. And don't put pressure on me now, but I'm busy. My career is demanding. It's hectic. It's like just the season that I'm in. One of these days. It's like always living for the future. And all that I'm doing now is to make it possible. Just when I want to release myself, I want to have space and have margins and say, if I've got the finances, someday in the future. But hold on a second, this life is just a breath. It's all it is. You don't have the privilege of saying, I'm going to live then. I'm going to get my thing. So where we need to live is in the present with an absolute knowledge of eternity. So David's praying that prayer in the presence of God in the present day. And he's saying, Lord, I want to live this day. That's why God says, don't worry about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. Just live for today, but live it with a knowledge of what's beyond this very fleeting life. When it comes to our calling, because God has something unique for all of us. Don't want to miss that. Don't want to miss that. I don't want to die with potential. I want to spend myself. I want to know, God, what is it that you'd have me do? What's your will for my life? What's your calling over my life? We heard it announced earlier. We got the call happening in 2 weeks. I'm not saying that's going to give you all the answers, but when there are opportunities for you to say, hey, Lord, I want to seek you out. I want to know something of your call on my life because I want to live my little dash. And then some people would be saying, I don't know if I can put in a day's leave for that Friday. Because then I've only got 14 days at the end of the year. And I really want to rest well, you know what I'm saying? Start 2017 on a good footing. I need 15 days. Hello. You see, the decisions that you make Everything that you do, the gifting that God has put in my life, all of it has bearing on this. I want to live my life in a way where I understand the brevity of this life, the decisions that I make, what I do with my finances. That's why Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Amen. This is fleeting. And the reason why that I don't get despondent with this, I don't want to live. I want to be with God. I want to be in His presence. I want that resurrected body. I want to live for all eternity in this new heaven and new earth. The only thing that holds me here is I want to be a good husband to my wife. I want to be a good dad to my kids. And I want to share something of God's love for people. That's the only thing that holds me here. But this is a short life. And David's prayer is to say, Lord, give me a revelation of just how short it is. Help me understand the red within the context of the white so that I can live my little dash. Amen.